All right, so we're going to, instead of a sermon, if you're visiting with us, or if you're new to us and haven't been here for too long, every couple months, on whatever month has a fifth Sunday, we have a song service, or what we call a song sermon, in place of a normal just 40-minute sermon. So this morning we'll be talking a little bit, singing a lot, and I'll try to keep my speaking down to a minimum. So, as Anthony read for us this morning, our theme this morning is going to be put on God's armor. And our first song today with the song service is going to be number 527, Soldiers of Christ Arise. If you would go ahead and turn there. We're going to sing all five verses together, and I just want to make one suggestion, and that is that we... I don't usually ask this, but I ask that we change one word. And that is in the very first line, it says, Soldiers of Christ arise and put your armor on. I think it's more scriptural if we would say, Soldiers of Christ arise and put God's armor on. Because in Ephesians, it doesn't say, put on your armor of God. It says, put on the armor of God, the full armor of God. So, if you will oblige me in doing that this morning, and stand with me as we sing this song together. Soldiers of Christ arise. We'll sing all five verses. Soldiers of Christ arise and put God's armor on. Strong in take your seats. First part of the armor that we'll be talking about this morning is the belt of truth. some translations, older translations, say gird your loins, and that was a phrase that meant tie up your tunic and get ready. Tie it up, because a lot of, the warriors used to wear long tunics, and they tie it up, and as the Romans' time came around, they would tie up their clothes, and then they'd put a belt around it to kind of really fortify that. It's a call to action. It's a call to battle. And the belt is the first piece of the armor. And what also does is it kind of binds up the gut. You know, we say things like, I knew in my gut what the truth was. Like, I knew when I first met Emily in my gut that I was going to marry her. Like, there's some truth. We get a little bit away from talking about feeling in the gut. But that was a very common thing in the older civilizations and older times, is that you trusted and you carried the truth, like, in your gut, as opposed to the heart, as opposed to the mind. And one of the reasons it may be the first piece that that Paul talks about here is that other parts fasten to it. You know, the breastplate will kind of hook onto the belt. Sword hangs onto the belt. It has a lot of responsibility. And just like in spiritual battle, though, success hangs upon the foundation of the truth. And an illustration of this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul is addressing the Corinthians there, and somebody has kind of rattled their faith a little bit and say that Christ wasn't raised from the dead. And Paul goes on and says, well, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then we're not going to be raised from the dead. And if we're not raised from the dead, we've invested all of our time and our hope and our trust in something that never was. And there's no truth to it, and we are to be pitied the most. So everything we do spiritually, it has to be in the foundation of the truth. We have to gird ourselves in the truth of God and His creation, the God of His laws and His divinity and the things that He's shown us and the things that He's promised. Let's sing a song together, number 277. Speak, O Lord. I promise today that there's going to be a mix of familiar songs and songs that are going to be not so familiar. This is one that may not be so familiar to you, but it illustrates the importance of the truth in our spiritual walk, especially in our spiritual battle. You'll notice the words truth. You'll notice the words plans. And you'll notice power and words that attribute to the truth. Since this is a pretty new song, we're all going to sing it together, the very first verse together, all just on the melody line, just so we can kind of familiarize ourselves with this, with the tune. And then after we've done that, we'll go back and sing all three verses with harmonies if you so choose to do that.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that your light of seen today in your acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
Verse 1.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let your truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Plans for us, truths unchanged from the dawn of truth that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. We need to ask, well, what is a breastplate ultimately endeavoring to protect? I think we all know the answer to that. As our heart. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Some translations say, guard your heart all the time, for it is the source of life. And how can righteousness protect us and protect our hearts in spiritual battle? In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shows us that kingdom righteousness will keep our hearts pure, our clean, holy, upright, and free of sin and guilt. And if we've honestly put on the belt of truth, we will acknowledge that our own breastplate of self-righteousness has and will fail. And we need God's righteousness to win in the spiritual battle. Let's sing number 598, Take Time to Be Holy. Take Time to Be Holy, number 598. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought
Spirit, two fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
Number 576, purify us.
Lord, Restorer and unseen, come and make your priesthood clean. Come, refine our every part, purify.
Sing verse 1 again.
Lord, Restorer and unseen, come and make your priesthood clean. Come, refine our every part, purify.
Desire,
melt us with your cleansing fire, burn temptation from our minds, leave our
complete us, Father bless,
make us gifts of righteousness, honored in the work we do, golden vessels fit for.
Next piece of armor, the sandals poised for the gospel of peace. Sandals that make you ready to go and share the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace. Just take a moment, we'll rest our voices a minute, and think for a minute and about these things. I offer this to you to ask a soldier at your next time you meet one, how important it is to take care of your feet. Because without your feet, you can't stand your ground. Without your feet, you can't advance. And without your feet, you can't in times retreat. The importance of taking care of your feet, keeping them clean and keeping them dry, and is very important in battle. And so in the same book of the Gospel, or the same book of Ephesians that we draw from the armor, in Ephesians chapter 3, and starting in verse 14, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So the idea of being firmly grounded and established, and to know the love, the extensive love of God that we see through the gospel story, we need that in our spiritual battles that we have every day. They enabled us to advance upon the spiritual enemy and through spiritual struggles with peace produced through the gospel of Christ. So just something to think about there. Let's sing number 776, Christ for the World We Sing. Number 776. Sing all three verses. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and part of the armor is the shield of faith. And how does faith protect us? And from what does faith protect us? And we read in the text that it's from the fiery arrows of the evil one. Just take a moment and think about all the fiery arrows that are aimed at you at any given moment and any day. Things that might rattle your faith. I have a couple up here, just some bad news. Turn on the news, you get a lot of fiery arrows coming right at you these days. Things that'll rattle you, things that, oh, this, you know, I've lost faith in the nation, I've lost faith in the world, I've lost faith in this or that. Things that really can rattle us. It could be sickness, it could be unemployment or underemployment. It can be, and this next one, meanness of others, can this giant umbrella of whatever that means to you. People are just kind of mean to you and just kind of rattles you, or could be they're antagonistic towards your faith. It could be that they don't like you because of the color of your skin. They don't like you because you're a man or you're a woman. It could be whatever. It could just rattle, rattle your soul. And they come from all directions. We don't always know where these fire arrows are going to come from. We could be having a pretty strong, good day, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something hits us, and it just kind of. It becomes a trial for us spiritually. And our faith in God is not blind, but rather God calls us to examine the evidence that he's given us. He tells us in, David speaks in Psalm 19, he gives us the creation for us to see God's glory and God's power. And then he gives us his word. We have the gospel through Jesus that's so compelling, and it builds our faith. And with this evidence comes a promise and a hope of peace with him in this life and his eternal presence in the next. There's a hope of victory behind the shield of faith. And just like a shield can be moved around, it's not a stationary thing, it's more of a mobile thing. To deflect arrows from all directions, so can faith protect our spirits from bad news, antagonistic people, and difficult circumstances from any direction. we're grounded in our faith, doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter what news come, doesn't matter the circumstances, there's hope for victory. You're probably thinking we're going to sing Faith is the Victory, but we're not. If you want to read Psalm 91, we're not going to do that today, just for time reason. To show that if we're behind the faith in God, He will take care of us. Let's sing number 501, Lord, I Believe. Lord, I Believe, number 501. We're going to sing the four verses, then we'll sing the chorus as a fifth verse, or we'll sing the chorus only after the fourth verse. When we behold the wonders of creation, the flowers that bloom, the raindrops as they fall, the spacious skies and life's perpetuation, we cannot doubt that God controlled it all. No finite mind by mortal calculation could frame the truths revealed within His Word. In every trace of nature's operation, Thy voice, O God, in mystery can be heard. When we perceive the state of alienation in which the soul from Thee, O God, we must believe by heaven's ordination, Your Lord redeemed and paid the bitter cost. Some days are filled with joy and expectation. Some days are dark with cares we are beset. In hours of joy or hours of tribulation, be with us, Lord, lest we forget. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
I cannot doubt.
Or be deceived. The eye that sees each sparrow unseen and is in it all. The helmet of salvation comes next. Silly questions I have for you here. What does a helmet protect? Obviously our heads, but also our minds, our brains, our thinking, our capacity to think, to reason, and to be convinced. And being salvation-minded helps us control our senses and to filter the harmful debris of the world before it reaches and taints our hearts. And being salvation-minded helps us to be convinced of God's promises and to be determined to press on. Let's just read a couple verses from Philippians that illustrate this. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 reads, Paul says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting," there's part of the mind, "what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." So it's forgetting what lies behind. It's part of salvation-minded and being determined to push on towards the resurrection and the goal of being with God on the last day. And in chapter 4 and verse 8 it reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things." So we got to the helmet of salvation. We have the hope of salvation, and the so many good things to focus our minds on to help us when we're struggling spiritually. But also with salvation comes joy. If you think about, I have up here Psalm 51. It's the psalm of the repentant psalm of David, and he says, "God, renew in me the joy of your salvation." And there's a lot of joy that comes in knowing and being convinced of God's promise of salvation. Let's sing number 628, "Looking to Thee." Number 628, "Looking to Thee." We're just going to sing verses 1 and 2. Looking to Thee from day to day, trusting Thy grace along the way, knowing that Thou wilt safely keep all that is Thine. Sure of Thy soul redeeming love, sure of the crown of life above, singing Thy praise I press along, Savior divine. Looking to Thee, trusting Thy grace, I am as happy as a true soldier can be. Nearing my own heavenly place, trusting Thy love, I press along, looking to Thee. Looking to Thee for all I need, finding in Thee a friend indeed. All of the burdens of the day, storm I fear, Savior divine, for Thou art near, ready my cares and troubles all freely to share. Looking to Thee, trusting Thy grace, I am as happy as a true soldier can be. Trusting Thy love, I press along, looking to Thee. The sword of the Spirit. The word, the sword, that's all it tells us, the word of God, is the only piece of God's armor that's actually an offensive part of the armor of God. So much of a soldier's training, think about it, is learning to wield their main weapon of offense. For soldiers now, it's learning how to shoot a gun or whatever it is, taking care of it, cleaning it, putting it back together. And we ought to understand that as a soldier of Christ, we need to take time to learn to wield the sword, our word. It's powerful. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4. It's alive and ever active and sharper than a double-edged sword that can really get into you between the soul and the spirit. It's very powerful. And we see that in the teachings of the apostles. When they would use the word, it would convict people. And they didn't have to fight them. They didn't have to, they didn't have to shoot fiery arrows of personal things towards the people listening. They just gave them the word. And it changed. It worked. The word is very powerful. And I'm not sure if there's another more powerful account of this than when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, where we have the word, using the word to fight Satan and to resist the temptations. Jesus is the word. We know that. And he uses scripture from the Old Testament to defeat Satan in that instance. The sword of the Spirit is powerful. And that's all we need to on the offensive part of our spiritual battles. Let's sing number 459, "Standing on the Promises." Let's stand together. as we did previously. Let's just sing the verses, and then we'll sing the chorus as a fourth verse. So we'll just sing all three verses and then the chorus.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
As we're standing now, please take a seat. Paul tells us to always pray when we're in spiritual battle, putting each piece on of the armor with prayer. Pray at all times in peace and in battle, and pray for others who are battling as well. Acknowledge our weaknesses and be thankful for God's provision and protection. This is striking to me that Paul, at the end of talking about putting on armor, says that he needs the prayers of the Ephesians to help him be bold. And that's humbling for me to think that, well, Paul was the man, but he too is a soldier that is in spiritual battles like we were, or like we are, and that he too needs prayers, and we need prayer. Let's sing number 567, "'Tis the Blessed Hour of Prayer." Sing verse, I'm going to really make it a little bit more difficult. Verse 1, 3, and 4, and then we'll sing the chorus. Verse 1, 3, and then 4, and then the chorus.
"'Tis the blessed hour of prayer,